Extra, extra. Hot off the presses. It's Scoop Ed Longwa with the Catholic Sentinel.
And it is always a pleasure to speak with Ed Longwa, the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, joining us this morning. So what are you putting on the grill today, Ed? Because Brenda and I are coming over. We're hungry.
We're ready.
David, about twice a year, I grill a steak. My wife has talked me out of red meat, but she's going to be out of town. So come on over, maybe a ribeye.
All right. Thank
I'm
you.
There.
So we were also talking spices. Do you have a go-to spice that you like to put on things?
I'm a big garlic guy. Is that a spice? I don't know if that qualifies.
Yeah. Well, that's good because I was talking about I was making some chicken thighs last night on the grill, and that's one of my go-to things I put on is garlic. So I'm going to say yes.
Mmm, delicious.
Yeah, very much so. Well, you have an article that you have just written, excellent article on earthquakes, our churches, some concerns there certainly with some of the older churches, and what we need to do as far as trying to deal with what could be, they always talk about it, the big one. I think the last time I read a story, and we've had these little earthquakes off the Oregon coast, and they always say that, nah, this isn't related to the big one. But there is a chance, they said, over the next 50-some years, there is a percentage of a chance that we could get that big one.
That's right, David. Scientists, I don't know how they came up with the number 37%. That sounds like maybe a committee got up to that one.
Right.
But of a magnitude 7.1 or higher earthquake on the Cascadia subduction zone, that's two plates meeting off the coast of the Pacific Northwest that have been kind of moving and pressing against each other. And every once in a while they slip, maybe every 500, 300 years or so. Last time we had one of these big ones was 1700, and we know that from some records in tree rings. So we're due for one, David, and there's maybe even a smaller chance of a real big quake, like a 9.0 on the Richter scale, which is kind of unimaginable.
Boy, you'd hate to think about that. You probably remember this, Ed, when we had the spring break quake. This was back in the 90s, and I want to say that was, you might be able to correct me on this, but I want to say it was around 6.2, right in that area.
Yeah. And initially, they said that I actually think it was more like a 5.6.
Yeah.
So if you and the way these earthquake scales work, every point is a 10 times order of magnitude. So it's the amount of energy released between a 5.6 and a 7.1 is 170, 180 times more.
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
Well, and you remember the damage that did to St. Mary's Church in Mount Angel.
I do remember, and the Benedictines in Mount Angel as well, and St. Paul Church. A lot of our precious old places really sustained some damage that, thank goodness, we were able to repair.
Yeah, very, very true. And in your article, you kind of go through the different eras of churches built in the Archdiocese or throughout the Archdiocese of Portland and talk about, what may need to be done. But what I found very interesting, all the article for that matter, but you talked about the different types of materials that were used really over the past 100 years or more in building churches in the greater Archdiocese. And it was interesting because each era had a different type of material.
Yeah, David, there's no surprise that early on when settlement started here in the 1830s, 1840s, 1850s, a lot of churches were made of wood. Look at the beautiful little St. Joseph Church down in Jacksonville, completed in 1858. It's wood, and that's not a bad thing to have in an earthquake.
Right.
It's good to tie these to the foundation. But who knows what the foundations were made out of? That might have been the problem then.
Mm-hmm.
But then came the era of unreinforced masonry. Very skilled masons would build things out of brick. That lasted until about 1910, David. And that's the era that we worry about, the ones built of brick or stone. And we do have churches built there between from the 1870s through about 1910. We've got a handful of those, and those are probably the ones we need to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But then by then came our beautiful cathedral in Portland kind of came in a transition zone when there was some unreinforced masonry, but there are also steel beams that are holding up the roof of the cathedral, which is a new a new thing. And somewhere in there, they also started building churches out of poured concrete. A lot of the churches built in the 20s have walls and even ceilings where they just kind of poured concrete. And whether they tied everything together is the key point on those churches.
Right. And I think, too, going back to what you mentioned, the very first churches built of wood, while in an earthquake, better in handling and absorbing the shock. But some of the issues you had back then were fires. Lost some churches to fires through the wood churches.
Well, I think our records in the Sentinel do show quite a few churches burned down in the day. And, of course, our friends at Mount Angel Abbey lost two wooden monasteries to fire.
Right.
And so then they, in the mid-1920s, they built some good solid stone and reinforced buildings there. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness they're in good shape.
I think St. Joseph's Church in Salem, one of its first churches as well, was lost to fire, maybe a couple times as I'm thinking back on the history of that one as well. So you do go through these little changes of the materials being used to build the churches, and you said it's those older churches, 1920 era. And so as we look at those now today, you think with the predictions of, quote, the big one possibly hitting, what do you do with those churches? And it's not inexpensive to go through and retrofit these things.
It's multiple of millions of dollars, David. One parish allowed us to look at its report. It had a seismic study done in 2001. We promised we wouldn't identify this church, sure, but it's a 1920s church made of poured concrete. The engineers say that there, even in a moderate earthquake, there would be perhaps a partial collapse of this building. And the engineers suggested a building, what they do now is they have a steel lattice that they put up on the walls, and then they shoot concrete in there so that it becomes enforced concrete. You create kind of a shell of concrete around the people in case of an earthquake. The building might still fall down, but it won't fall on top of the people. But even in 2001, the price for that was going to be about $625,000.
Right.
And it would probably cost in the area of $7, $8 million now, which not many of our parishes can afford, David, nor can the Archdiocese.
No, it's very true. Now, there are some churches that have done some retrofitting, so to speak, or are in the process of doing that. In fact, you talked about one in a previous article, and that would be St. Patrick's Church. They're going through that process right now in Northwest Portland.
That's right. They are doing some beautiful remodeling of their murals, but also they're going to take a look inside those walls and see what it would take to bolster this church, which was built in that era. You know, it's an 1889 church, so we don't know exactly what's inside the walls. They haven't torn it apart yet. It's also a historic building, so what they can do will be limited by that as well, David. So this is a challenge we're all going to have on our hands, and so many of us love these older churches, and it's going to be a burden that the parish alone is not going to be able to bear.
Speaking with Ed Longwa, the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, just a fascinating article on our churches in the Archdiocese of Portland, some of the older churches, and what happens when that big one hits, and what are the churches doing now, maybe to retrofit, to try to strengthen the churches. You talked about the oldest church, St. Paul's Church in St. Paul, and they went through a process.
That spring break quake you mentioned, David, is what damaged St. Paul Church. And so they did form one of these concrete shells, and they tied the ceilings to the roof. Our oldest church, 1846, built by bricks they made right on site. So St. Paul Church, thank goodness, is in pretty good shape. But it took an effort of the whole archdiocese and an awful lot of work to keep that old beauty together and safe.
Yeah, very much so. And that's one of the beauties of the Archdiocese, is just getting an opportunity, so many different styles of churches, to get to see them. And hopefully that big one will never hit, but you never know. So the process that we need to go through to make sure we shore some of those churches up. Again, great article by Ed Longwa, managing editor, Catholic Sentinel newspaper, on our churches throughout the Archdiocese. Ed, as always, great article. Always appreciate talking with you.
Thank you, David.
All right. Well, have a great weekend.
You as well.